I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.
By morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed
your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord, unto us. Lord, we come to you today to give you praise and honor and glory and thank you and bless your name. Lord, during this worship service, we want to lift our hands and just tell you thank you. If you never do one more thing for us, we know that you have brought us thus far. Lord, we thank you for your divine plan for the birth, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can all be here and be saved and be cleaved unto you. Lord, we thank you for this worship service, what you're about to bring to it. Thank you for all of us who have tarried here, for those who are to come, Lord. We thank you. Let us all receive a word. Lord, while we're here, we want to take a moment to pray for our pastor and his health and his healing and recovery, and for Sister Gordon and the family who is caring thus for him. Lord, all this we ask in your precious name of Jesus. Let us all say amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Sunday, St. Matthew's. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do I have a witness in here today? Hallelujah. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He gave you breath in your lungs. Come on and open up your mouth and give God some praise. Come on and clap your hands. Hallelujah. There's nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. I know y'all know this song.
Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around, down there, couldn't find nobody. When I crossed the deep blue sea, I couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercies. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
Come on, how many know that on today?
I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low, couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal me like you can. Oh, oh, holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, mighty is your hand. You are he who carried our redemption plan. You are he who carried our redemption plan.
Come on, say it.
Couldn't find nobody.
I looked high and low.
Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you. Come on, say searched all over.
Searched all over.
Couldn't find nobody. I look high and low,
high and low.
Still couldn't find nobody. There's nobody greater. Oh,
yeah. Nobody greater than you.
Come on and lift your hands. Hallelujah. Come on and raise the praise. There's nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody greater. How many know we give all our praise to our God? All the praise goes to our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. For we serve a mighty God. We serve a good God. We serve a kind God. We serve a God that has never erred. We serve a God that is greater than I am that I am. Let us pray. Eternal God and Almighty God, we come to praise you this morning for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We invite your holy presence among us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we come to tell you that we love you, we adore you, and we thank you for making the way of love known through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would reveal your great love to all of us today as we gather in worship. Dear Lord, lead us by your Spirit to praise and glorify you this day, in spite of what happened yesterday, in spite of what happened last week, in spite of what happened last month. Lord, let our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and our mouths profess you with everlasting greatness. In the miraculous, efficacious, and all-powerful and name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Let all of God's children say amen. And let all of God's children give him a hand clap of praise. Because he is Almighty God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. At this time, we'll have scripture reading by Minister Arnold, Reverend Tunstall, followed by Reverend Walker. Amen.
Good morning, St. Matthews. First scripture will be from Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Joshua 1, 7 through 9. And this is what the word of God says. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Amen.
Good morning, St. Matthews. Joshua chapter 24. Verse 15, same book, Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Good morning, St. Matthews. We find the scripture in 2 Chronicles, verse 13, 14, and 16. Again, 2 Chronicles, chapter 10, verse 13, 14, and 16. And it reads, and the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, and answered them after the advice of the young man, saying, my fathers made ye yokes heavy, but I will add thereto, my father chastised ye with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? and we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel, and now David, see to thy own house. So all Israel went to their tent. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord is in the house, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is my life and my salvation. And whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, came up against me, they stumbled and they fell. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is like a bridge over troubled water. The Lord is everlasting and will never grow tired or weary. The Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. The Lord is right here now. He is right here. He's an everlasting God. He never stops loving us. The Lord is strong. Is mighty and forever grateful. Come on, let's give him a hand clap of praise. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. Bless his holy name. Good morning, St. Matthews. What a great day it is to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I come to tell you, He is faithful, He's kind, and He's almighty. We've come, we have gathered under His sanctuary, in His sanctuary, to lift up the mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ. I would always say to anyone, where would I be without my Savior? I couldn't have woke up this morning. I couldn't have heard the birds chirping this morning. I couldn't hear the car horns blowing. I couldn't have walked this morning. I couldn't have spoke this morning. I could have done nothing without Lord Jesus Christ. It is He that has all honor, all praise, all glory. And we need to never stop magnifying this holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is the day that He has made. And giving all honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and honor to our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon Sr., we bring you greetings from the name that's above all names, and that is the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to say, praise the Lord, and let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Bless the Lord. Our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon Sr., he sends his undivided love and blessings to you. And let us continue to keep our senior pastor and Sister Gordon and his family in prayer. Amen. Amen. Now, each third Sunday, I know we have visitors, we'll get to them. But each third Sunday of the month, we recognize two church ordinances, and they are baptism and communion. And at 9 a.m., we conducted baptism, and immediately following this service, prior to benediction, we will receive communion. Amen? Amen? And we are so happy and joyful today to welcome the women of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. Come on, stand up and let us give your hand clap. Show that red. Oh, yeah. Bless the Lord for all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And just because y'all wore red, I see some more red in here. So if you're part of that red, let's stand up. Hello. If you're part of that red, stand up. Amen, amen. Jesus Christ, a couple messages. Jesus Christ, seven last words, which is Good Friday. Service will be here in St. Matthew's on Good Friday, March 29th. At 10 a.m. right here in the sanctuary. Additionally, we will have an Easter worship service at our normal scheduled service time, and that's 10:30 p.m. on the fifth Sunday of March, March 31st, 2024. And be sure to join us. Amen. We normally have Easter come on a Saturday, but I believe this is a leap year, and it's coming in the last week of March. Amen. Now, also, our outreach team led by MIT minister in training, Deacon Jarvis, took the gospel to over 275 homes yesterday, and one soul was saved. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to this outreach team. Amen. Well, outreach team, stand up, please. Let's just stand up and let us just sing. Come on, let's give a hand clap to these outreach. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. And do we have any visitors today? If we have visitors, please stand or raise your hand. We just want to recognize you with a card. Amen. We have cards. We have visitors down front. Amen. Thank God for you. We have visitors in the balcony. And we thank you for coming. And if you don't have a church home, we would welcome you to join St. Matthew's. We are not perfect here, but we are certainly forgiving. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you. Let's give the visitors a hand clap. And now it is offering time. And God loves a cheerful giver. You cannot be God-given no matter how hard you try. This service will be taking up two offerings. The first offering will be our tithes and special gifts. The second offering will be for our radio and TV ministry. But I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you what a tithe was. A tithe is a tenth. If you make $1,000 a week, God gets the first $100. If you make $500 a week, God gets the first $50. If you make $100 a week, God gets the first $10. And Dr. Luke said in chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Not your pocket, into your bosom. So you know your pockets can't hold it. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What you give, you will receive. Come on, let us give. Choir.
Oh,
Amen. Let's give this choir a hand clap. They got music coming out of here I never heard before. In this worship time, please come. No, they wind up something this morning. I don't know what happened. Let's give them a hand clap. Let us please stand. All things
come to me. Oh, and of thine own have we been.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for your giving. Amen. Bless the Lord. We thank you for the choir. We thank you for the music. At this time, I'm going to ask Sister Alina Mitchell Ziegler, St. Matthew's Chief of Pastoral Affairs, and Sister Yvette Jennings, St. Matthew's Chief Financial Officer, to come up. They have some good news for you. Amen?
Good morning, St. Matthew's family. Good morning. Giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon Sr., our guests, the ministers, and all of you. Just wanted to come with a very quick praise report. Our pastor is doing well. Please continue to keep him in prayer. And one of our dear members has given us $50,000. We praise God for their faithfulness, and we praise God for that person. May they be blessed. I now will turn it over to our CFO, Yvette Jennings. Thank you.
Thank you, Alina. Buenos dias, St. Matthews. First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond Gordon, church family and friends. On behalf of our CEO and senior pastor, Dr. Raymond Gordon, we thank you for your continuous support and obedience to our Lord and to our church. Our church is doing very well under the leadership of our senior pastor. Pastor loves you very much, and we ask you that you continue to keep him in your prayers. We miss him dearly, and we cannot wait for his return. Have a blessed day.
Was there a problem, Robert? At this time, we're going to hear from our choir.
Worthy of the highest praise. Hallelujah. I want to get up 6 o'clock this morning and drive 30 minutes here just to not give God praise. I only came here to give him praise. I didn't come here to see what you had on. I didn't come here to see who was going to be here. I knew that God would meet me here when I got here, because I knew that I had a testimony, and I knew that I needed to get into the house on today. Can anybody understand what I'm saying on today? I have a testimony. Does anybody have a testimony? Has God brought you through anything today? Hallelujah. I got a testimony to tell. If I only had the time to tell you, but I'm going to sing and get out the way. Hallelujah. Song says, so glad I made it.
Thank you.
that I made it through. Woo! See, I didn't lose. No. Experience loss at a major cost. But I never lost faith in you. So glad I made it. Do I have a witness on today? I made it through. In spite of the storm and rain, heartache and pain, I'm still alive, declaring that I made it through. Yeah. Ha. See, I did it through. But I never lost faith in you. Come on, help me sing. So when
I made it through.
In spite of the storm and rain,
in spite of the storm and rain,
open up your mouth and say, I made it.
I made it.
In spite of the storm and rain.
In spite of the storm and rain.
Heartache and pain.
Still alive.
Say, I made it.
I made it.
Yeah.
I did it
in the
world.
Experience love.
So glad I made it. So glad I made it.
Hallelujah.
I made it through.
Come on, open your mouth, say,
I made it through. Oh, so glad I made it.
Come on, is that anybody testimony on today? I'm so glad I made it. Yeah.
I made it.
Woo.
I made it.
So glad I made it. If it had not been,
for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? Hallelujah. He brought me through this and he brought me through that. So
to our esteemed senior pastor, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon, Sr. It gives me the honor to introduce to you, to some, and most of you know them, our guest speakers this morning. And they are Reverend Dan Spencer and his wife, Kim Spencer. Since they've been here before, I have said a mouthful, so let them just start to work. They are blessed. They're married, of course, and they're blessed with two teenagers that are very instrumental participants in our youth ministry. Dan is a retired state trooper, and Kim's still going on, following in our... And so is Dan, if you want to be told. Amen. They were blessed, and they are blessed, and you will be blessed when they come. The first speaker up will be our own sister, Kimberly Spencer. Kimberly?
So much, Reverend Jackson, for your kind words. I'm still going on. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, y'all look beautiful this morning, if nobody told you. Praise God, praise God. I'm thankful to be here. If I can just set a couple things up. Ooh. Well, I think I wore the right color this morning. I'm in good company. Y'all look beautiful in red. Ah, welcome, Deltas. Good morning, everyone. I want to give honor to God and to in whom I live and move and have my being. To this pulpit, my wonderful husband, who I have the opportunity and the privilege to share this hour with you. Whew. And my children are here, family and friends. To our wonderful pastor who chose us to stand before you. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? He placed us under a pastor who is yielded to him and not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk. Our pastor prays for us and with us, and he walks as he walks in the will of God. And for that, I'm very thankful, very thankful. Let us continue to lift him and his family up in prayer as he recuperates. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing on in the theme of predestination to predestination, place to place, and to be in God's place for the protection of others. And I have been tasked to talk with you today about the difficulty of making expedient decisions. I'll subtitle that Decisions, Decisions, Decisions. So our scripture for today, which was read in your hearing, comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13, 14, and 16. I'll read it again in your hearing. And the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David? And have we none inheritance in the son of Jesse? Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house." So all Israel went to their tents. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are, and we bless and we praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to allow us to make our own decisions and forgiving us when we don't include you. Help us to always keep you first, knowing that you have our best interests at heart. Hide me behind the cross in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Webster's Dictionary describes expedient as something done or used to achieve a particular end, usually quickly or temporarily. So let me begin with a question. How many of you have been asked to make a quick decision on something that's major in your life? Can I see a show of hands? Anybody? Anybody? Most adults have been asked to do just that thing. Maybe you've been rushed by a car salesman into a lousy deal. Or how about the entertainers that are so eager to sign a contract that when it's all said and done, they find that they're making a penny per record sold? How about peer pressure to vape, to try sex or drugs? These are all just a few examples of how we fall into situations that can lead to some serious consequences. Amen? I remember my father coming home from work and running to my sister and I, and he had a story. He had a message for us. This was back in the 80s, and there was a new drug in town. And he had a friend whose daughter had recently fallen on hard times. She was a beautiful blonde model living the life in New York City. But she tried this drug once. And after losing everything she owned, she began to sell herself for more. Now, I'm not sure what came of this young woman, but I pray that the Lord rescued her from her situation. Decisions, decisions, decisions. You have to remember that the decisions you make on a daily basis can change the trajectory of your life. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, we see that Rehoboam at age 41 inherited Solomon's kingdom. Now Solomon was a taskmaster who ruled with an iron fist. He taxed the people heavily and they lived an extremely hard life. So in verses 3 through 5, that is hard to say, 3 through 5, the people came to him and pleaded that if he would lighten the yoke that his father Solomon had placed on them, that they would serve him loyally. He sent him away for 3 days so he could find out the right answer, although I believe he had one in his head already, because it didn't take long for him to make up his mind. In verse 6, he spoke with the elders, and they gave him wise counsel. They told him in verse 7 that if he would serve the people and be kind to them, that they in turn would serve him forever. Now in verse 8, he rejected their counsel and decided to see what his younger friends had to say. We have a conversation about this in my house all the time, because, you know, folks don't like to listen to the older folks. Amen. So in verse 10 and 11, they told him what he wanted to hear, that if his father was tough, then he should be tougher. And that decision cost him, because in verse 16, the people walked. He lost most of his kingdom. He made terrible decisions throughout his time in reign, and by disobeying God, allowing idolatry, and among other sins that were rampant in Judah. And these decisions had long-lasting consequences. So how many of us, when we have a decision to make, feel the need to run it past our friends? Am I the only one? All right, no, we don't take it to an unbiased person who has wisdom, right? And when we ask them what they think, and they give us pretty much a similar answer that we had, we say, "Oh, girl, that's confirmation. Oh, girl, yes, that's confirmation. Oh, daggone confirmation. You might as well have asked yourself." Proverbs 12:5 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth under counsel is wise. So what do we do then when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place? Not sure what to do when we have a major decision to make. P-R-A-Y. The P, praise him. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And he knew you when you were in your mother's womb, and he loves you. He's the creator of the universe, and there is nothing too hard for God. If he can fling the stars into space and hang the planets just so, what makes you think that he can't handle your decision-making process? Somebody say, praise him. R, you must repent of your sins. If there's a sin that's standing in the way of your decision making, standing between you and the Father, is it guilt? Is it shame? Tell him about it and repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession frees us to enjoy fellowship with the Lord. Next, you want to ask God for wisdom. In Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed to God all night long before choosing the apostles because it was a huge decision, so he sought the wisdom of his Father. If he can do it, why can't we? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Proverbs 4:7 also says that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Finally, we must yield. Now, we live in a microwave society, and we want everything right now. But we know that God also works in his own time. And so that answer may not come right away. So we need to have patience in the wait. I was online recently, and I saw this posted, and I said, oh, thank you, Lord. It says, don't waste your wait. The waiting is where God makes you into who you need to be for when he gets you there. I said, yes, Lord. Thank you, thank you. So, yes, sometimes we feel the need to talk it out while we wait. But when God does speak to you in that still, small voice, and that's what I prefer because, you know, I don't want to make him shout. amen. What you want to do and what God wants you to do, more importantly, is when the invitation is given today and you feel that tugging at your heart, will you make a split decision? A split second decision and give your life to Christ. I promise you, it's a decision you will never regret. There's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on and sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No, no, no turning back. Come on, keep playing. The world behind me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The cross before me. The world behind me. Switch it up a little bit, and I'm going to say, and I want you to sing it with me. I surrender all. your life to him today. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, St. Matthews, and God bless you.
Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that has already went forth, Lord. Tenderize our hearts and our minds, Lord, so we may be able to hear what thus saith the Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and I pray that my words would match up with your words, and I will have to say what I say and get out of the way. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you follow that? I'm going to get you when I get home. good morning, good morning. Giving honor to Lord Jesus Christ and his love, mercy, and goodness. I thank you for, Pastor, for allowing me to be here and occupy the pulpit once again, because it is a privilege. It is a privilege. And if you're standing up here, Pastor's got to trust you to be able to give the word. And thank you so much, Pastor. We spoke to him on Thursday. And he sounded like his usual self, spry and, you know, laughing and everything. And it was good to hear. And we are anxious to have him and Sister G come back.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to continue to keep him lifted in prayer, because he's just like us. He has things going on, and we need to continue to pray. And not just automatically think because he's a pastor, he's this, that he doesn't have problems. He's got stuff going on, too. And so we all need to be lifted in prayer and continue to remember that. Just wanted to wish my wife a happy birthday a couple weeks ago. And not today. And my daughter, we was up in New York City yesterday celebrating her 16th birthday, which I still can't believe. I don't know where the time went. But we had a good time. All right, if you turn in your Bibles, we read it in your hearing, Joshua, the first chapter, 7th verse. And I'm going to, for the sake, I'm just going to read it again really quickly. Joshua, first chapter, 7th, 8th, and 9th, and the 24th chapter, the 15th verse. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whichsoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in which the land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. In continuing our theme of predestination to predestination, place to place, to be in God's place to protect others, Pastor asked me to focus on the difficulty of the expedient as my wife, but I'm taking it from a little slightly different angle in our making our decisions. My title this morning is Moving from Expedient to Obedient. Moving from Expedient to Obedient. Let me define expedient once again. As an adjective, it describes an action that is convenient and practical although possibly improper and immoral. Got that last part? And as a noun, it is a means of attaining an end, especially one that is convenient, but considered improper or immoral. So as my wife was saying, you know, you're rushing, you're making a quick decision, but it may not be the right decision. The main theme of Joshua is this: God's faithfulness to fulfill the covenant with Abraham. Also, the participation of man to fulfill God's promise to them. And so, Joshua was Moses' understudy, and he became his successor and led Israel in the conquest of Canaan about 1400 BC. Joshua, whose name means Yahweh is salvation, was a trained military man and was two of the 12 spies that came back, that spied out the land, that came back with a positive report, along with Caleb. And by the way, they were the only two that made it into the promised land. God told Moses to publicly appoint Joshua as the next leader. In Deuteronomy 34:9, the Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." By the way, Joshua was approaching almost 90 years old when he took the leadership of Israel. You know, we think he's a young man, and that he was almost 90 years old. So if you're not close to 90, or even if you are past 90, God's got something for you. He ain't done with you yet. It ain't time to go out to pasture. It's time to keep it moving. He is one of the handful of people in the Bible that there was nothing negative said about it. There was nothing negative said about Joshua or Daniel, for that fact. And that's interesting, because he probably had faults and he had things that was going on, but the Bible chose, or God chose, not to allow that to happen or allow it to be written. We make many decisions every day. And as my wife said, we have decisions that affect us long range and some that affect us short range. Some of the decisions that I made when I was 17 years old are still affecting me now. In a good way. And some of the decisions that my mom and dad made, and my grandparents, to introduce me to the Word and introduce me to the Lord, is still going. And so decisions are important. We ought to always pray. Always pray. 1 Thessalonians says that we ought to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you go around all the time with your eyes closed and your hands, but you have that attitude. You're always asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Because when we don't pray, we have problems. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. In 1979, there was a group called Heat Wave. And I know y'all don't remember that because y'all never listen to that. But they had a song, and you know, somebody knows where I'm going. Does anybody know what the song was called? Don't sing it. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing decisions causes. Wait a minute. Y'all better be able to recite the word like that. Mind-blowing decisions causes head-on collisions. Now, I don't know how biblical that is, but it sure does kind of line up, doesn't it? So as we make decisions, as we look at these things, we're going to look at four things here. We're going to look at Joshua and some of the things how Joshua moved in the world. He accepted the charge of God. He concentrated on the Word. He chose courage over fear, and he made a choice for God. So if you writing down, or if you, I give you permission to pull out your phone so you can put some of these points down, because you're going to forget them by the time you get to the door. So it's good to always write things down, because then you could think about these things and just meditate on them, which we're going to talk about also. Accept the charge of God. Concentrate on the word. Choose courage over fear. And then make a choice for God. The first one, accept the charge of God. Only be strong thou and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest whithersoever thou goest. Moses died, and the people mourned for 30 days. But Moses prepared Joshua, the people prepared Joshua for leadership, and Joshua was Moses's mentee. The reason that Moses stressed being strong and courageous is found in Deuteronomy in a few different places, so that Joshua understood that God was with him every step, and that's what we have to understand. That's how we can be strong. We have to know that if we have given our life to the Lord, that he's with us every step. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but by faith, we have to trust him. Joshua was a good man. And like, I don't know if you were here last week, but Pastor Williams tore that up. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. He tore that stuff up. I was writing. I was trying to keep up with him, but he just, But our steps are ordered by the Lord, Psalm 37:23. So we have no reason to fear. 1 John 4:18 says this: there's no fear in love. And it goes on to say that he first loved us. It wasn't that we reached out for him, it's that he reached out for us. When it says not to turn to the right or the left hand, that means not to swerve off the path. You got me? When we drive, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but something ever catch your eye on the side of the road, or catch your eye, and next thing you know, you're almost rear end somebody, or you almost swerve off the road or swerve into the next lane. That never happened to you? Okay. Well, that is what he's saying, is that we ought to keep our eyes on the Lord. We can't go to the left or right. Keep it straight ahead. Keep it on him. And speaking of not accepting the charge, when we talk about Joshua accepting a charge, we think about Adam. Adam made a bad decision. Adam had a passive problem. He was passive and he wasn't protective. He made a bad decision. Because it says in Genesis 3:6, it says that Adam was with his wife Eve at the time she ate the forbidden fruit. So yes, Eve listened, but it says that Adam was right there. So, how many of us have not accepted the charge in the home? Men. We are the priest of our house. We should be leading the Bible study. We should be the ones in church. We should be the ones encouraging in the Lord. And if you are, good. Keep it moving. Keep it doing. If not, let's make some adjustments. But Adam wasn't in the right place. He made an expedient decision to take the fruit. And they both suffered as a result. And they suffered, and we suffered. Because as a result of one man's sin, sin was passed down. And so he took the expedient route. He took the route he was going along to get along. So the first thing is accepting a charge. In order to move from expedient to obedient, we have to accept a charge. The next thing we have to do is concentrate on the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I like that. When he says the book of the law, he's talking about the word. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, 10 says, "With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Psalm 119:15 says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on because he trusteth in thee." Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Walking, standing, sitting. Got it? Walking, standing, sitting. That is kind of the progression of how we conduct ourselves. We're walking with someone, then we'll stand, and then when you sit down, that means that you're spending time with them. That means that you are you're taking time with them. And so watch your friends, young people, older people, everybody. Watch. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." He didn't say just a few minutes. He says day and night. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We must meditate, saturate, percolate, and marinate in the word of God. And he says, then you will have good success. I like to cook, and when I cook, I don't cook in a microwave. I like to cook in a crock pot. You might know where I'm going. When we talk about a crock pot, you put all the ingredients in there, and you put everything in there, and then you put the lid on, you turn it on, and it goes for hours. But when you lift that lid, that aroma is like, oh, my goodness. Many of us make decisions, or our devotional life is like a microwave. We pop the stuff in there. 30 seconds later, we just hit the 30. It's good. We take it out. We're good. We're done. We need a crock pot devotion. We need to take our time. We need to marinate in it a little bit. I don't like just to cook meat. When I cook meat, I marinate the meat. I inject the meat. I make sure that it's all like all that stuff, that goodness is in there, and then I drop it in the crock pot. I'm getting kind of hungry now. But you take your time. Come on, y'all. I mean, we're not going to... This Christian life is not something that is done quickly. I know today's, the social media, TV, and just everybody, everything is moving so fast. And we get instant results. We got Instapot. We got all these different things that cause us to want to move and get things done fast. But we need to slow down. Take your time and just marinate in his word, because then it gets all through us. It doesn't just bounce off of us. What'd you read this morning? What were they talking about in church this week? I don't know. I tell you what, the last few weeks have really, I mean, just... Period. It's been rich. You need to write it down. I mean, I think about some of the messages that have been given over the last couple of weeks, Tanya Murphy was talking about. Let me see. She said, Matthew 6:33. All these things shall be added to you. But she wasn't talking about addition. She talked about multiplication. and the blessings and everything. Seeking ye first the kingdom of God. And I just reflect on those messages and just where the Lord is taking us step by step. Predestination to predestination, place to place, and all the things that he is taking us through. And so God's definition of good success, as I just read, is not prosperity and power. It's walking with him. That's God's definition of success, walking with him and getting to know him at a deeper level. So sometimes we you know, people say, oh, yeah, I got blessed, girl, man. I got a car, got this, got that, got this, got that, got that. No, being blessed by God and having success in the eyes of God is getting to know God at a deeper level. It is walking with him. It's talking with him. It's hearing him. It's moving when he says move. It's stopping when he says stop. And being able to know the difference. And as we, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, again, like I said, pray without ceasing. Because that's our lifeline. We have to. We got to keep it. We have to. What are we going to do? We have to. The Bible says that without him, we can do 1%. No? Without him, some read your Bible, we can do nothing. And speaking of concentrating on the word, David didn't concentrate on the word. David had a porn problem. That's right. The man they called after God's own heart. He was concentrating on his neighbor, Bathsheba, instead of the word. And it caused him to fall in sin. His expedience, he thought he was covering up everything. He covered up adultery, tried to cover up murder and everything. And he thought it was a good idea at the time, and he thought he was cool. Here comes Nathan, the prophet, his buddy. He confronted him, and he said, "You're the man." But he didn't say it that way. He said, "You're the man." He told him a story about somebody that took a person's sheep that was almost like a pet, and he slaughtered it, and they used it for a meal. And David was angry. He said, "Who's that?" And Nathan said, "You're the man." And he knew exactly what he was talking about. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. But guess what? He was king, but God is no respecter of persons. Just because you have a position, just because you have money, just because you have whatever you have, hey, listen, he's not respecting you because of that. He respects those that love him with their whole heart. So in order to move from expedient to obedient, my last point, we accept the charge, we concentrate on the word, and we choose courage over fear. My next and last point. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever you go. To King James. Some of our fears come out of the form of expedient excuses. When you look at Moses in the third chapter of Exodus, God was calling Moses. And by that time, Moses had been tenderized 40 years on the backside of the desert. When God called him to the burning bush, his response was, "Who am I? And what do I say? I can't talk." I remember when the Lord was calling me to the ministry, and one of my excuses was, "I'm not ready and I don't know what to do." In Galatians 2:20, it says this: "We have been crucified with Christ, so no longer that we live, but Christ lives in us. So we have nothing to fear. Whom the Lord calls, he equips." So when he calls you, when you get something that's kind of scary, it looks like a big thing, whether that's in the secular world or spiritual world, he is getting you ready. He'll get you ready. But he doesn't get you all ready and then send you. He sends you, and you're getting ready while you're going. Amen? That may be a word to somebody. So you need to get going, get moving, get walking, and he'll give you the mission as you're going along. In 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Sound mind. Some people don't, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have sound minds. We can turn on the news and see every day. My wife was telling me this morning about someone that took out 3 members of his family, a young person. What is going on? Where's their mind? What decisions are they making? And you know his mind wasn't in the right place. And so we are called to help people get their mind in the right place, to steer them, to give them counsel. Because, you know, sometimes we don't want to be around certain people, and we don't, you know, but we are called to be right there to help them out, to minister to them. We have the words of life. We do. Just because you don't have an official title as a minister or a whatever it may be, no, we're all ministers. We're all ministers, and we all should be ministering to people. My last point. In order to move from expedient to obedient, we have to accept the charge, concentrate on the word, choose courage over fear, and then make a choice for God. Make a choice for God. Joshua 24:15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, which land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is Joshua's final speech. The first part of that, verses 1, 7, 8, 9, was when he was coming in, and this is when he's going out. And he wanted to make sure the people were in solid rock. He was giving this final speak, the final pep talk. This is it. And they responded in Joshua 24:18. They said, "Yes, we will follow the Lord." But before they did, Joshua was like, "I don't know where y'all are, but this is the deal in my house. We will serve the Lord." And matter of fact, I have that banner. I have it in 2 places in the house. I have one is a metal plaque, and then I have one that's like a little carpet, and that hangs over the doorway. And I was going to bring it today, but I was like, I have too many things to bring up here. But every time I walk through that doorway, I see that. "As for me and my house," what are you doing in your house? Are you serving the Lord? Have you made a decision? Is your mind set? Are you rock solid in your commitment? And what they did as a result of that, they took a stone, and in the Old Testament, stones were used for a few different things. But one of the things that stones were used for was a memorial. It every time you saw that stone, it was, "Oh, okay, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In the last profile, out of fear, Abraham had a lying problem, which caused him to pimp out his wife. He lied and said she was his sister out of fear that he might be killed by the Egyptians. Abraham didn't make a declaration about who his household was serving because his thoughts and concerns and fears were on saving his neck out of expediency. All these people that we talked about were great men in the Bible. All of these had, you know, most of them in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. So what that tells me is that we can make bad decisions, but that's not the end. We may feel like it's the end. We may have all of these situations that seem like they come crashing down. But if we wake up in the morning and we have, like my wife says, what do? We praise the Lord and we keep it moving. We confess it and we seek his face and we keep it moving. The truth is that we all have responded in some way under pressure or if we're threatened. We all have. I mean, nobody can say they haven't. Or if you haven't, it's coming up. But looking at the life of Joshua, we can see how he positively responded. Now, when we don't seek the Lord, this is what we're doing. We are gambling. If we don't seek the Lord, Pastor, don't get me bringing dice into the pulpit, right? But if we don't seek the Lord in everything that we do, we're gambling. We're playing dice with our life. We should always seek Him, pray, read the Word, and take the time to hear what God is saying. We're making haphazard decisions when we don't trust Him. Young people, some of the things that are out here today can affect you for life. Don't sit there. Don't play with your life. Don't gamble. Don't listen to some of your peers that want to tell you or think they know what's going on. Listen to someone older. Listen to God. Listen to the Word. Hear what He has to say. Because there are no shortcuts in God's economy. There's no spiritual maturity without trusting, obeying, and even sometimes suffering. There's no easy buttons. When we talk about easy buttons, there ain't no easy buttons. It would be nice to have an easy button when we could say, hey, let's pray for an hour.
That was easy.
There ain't no easy buttons to say to take time and read the Word and just sit there. But there's the only easy button there is when we take the time. So when I repeat the promises of God, this is what I want you to say.
That was easy.
I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Come on now, that was easy for God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by the Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
My God to thee. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Come on, let's bless his holy name. Amen. Thank you, dear Lord, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. You may be seated. Look to the Lord. Eternal God, who is almighty, we pray for the light of the gospel of glory of Jesus Christ, who is your very image, to be made known to those who are lost today, those that are afraid to admit, believe, and even confess. And lost today, Lord God, and they do not know you in the pardoning of their sins. We ask that you would draw them to you, Lord, as we seek your face and ask for your mercy to save them. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will move to remove whatever is blocking their minds to receive the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Let all of God's children say amen. Amen. Paul said in Romans 3, verse 23, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous or were righteous. No, not one. Everybody that's born on this earth or in this world need a Savior named Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said in Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave or from the dead, you will be saved or born again. I'm here briefly to tell you, we accept Christ here in St. Matthew's many ways. But we have three, we call them tender ways to accept him. And that's to learn your ABCs. A, admit that you are a sinner. B, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead so that you can be saved. And then C, confess with your own mouth, Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And Paul said, if we do those three, we'll be saved. Is there one in this congregation right now that does not know Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I want you to raise your hand. I better than that, I want you to get up and come on down front. Don't let this preaching and teaching and all of the joy that's here and under the admonition of our Lord and Savior be just cast to aside. Come on down and show the Lord you love him. Show the Lord you're trying. Now, if there's one in this congregation, upstairs, downstairs, one in this congregation that is saved and does not have a church home, I need you to get out your pews and come on down front. We want you to join us. You need our pastors, our senior, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon, prayers daily for you. He's your covering if you don't have a church home. And he will be your covering when you join St. Matthew. Is there one? Is there one? Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Now, let us transition and focus our hearts and minds on the Last Supper of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which we call communion. Before we reach the, before we touch any of the baskets, and you will find them on each end of the pews, I need you to hear me just for a few. Then understand, I don't want you to, any of you, visitors and all, not to understand, not to take this moment lightly, but recognize how precious and holy this moment is for all of us. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is your Son, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who receive it. We pray that they may eat in remembrance of the body of your Son and witness to you. Father, we pray that this congregation are willing to take upon them the name of your Son and always remember him and keep the commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just a moment, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Amen? Now, you may find the basket of elements on your right or your left of the pews. Please take one, and the deacons are up and available to assist you. Once you have opened your element, just look up at Reverend Jackson. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And they all ate. "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And they all drank. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death till he comes." Amen? Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to your table and partaking in the body and blood of your Son. May we always take to heart the importance of this sacrament and live our lives in a way that reflects your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Let all of our brothers and sisters say amen.
Amen.
Now, after benediction, and I'm going to give you the benediction shortly, I want you to come up and greet our two preachers, teachers, messengers. And I also want you to find a 7'2" guy. His name is Deacon Armstead. And say happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
I might have been all a little off with the feet. Let's look to the Lord. Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The Lord will be with you. God bless you. We are dismissed. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
May his peace be with you till we meet again. May his peace be with you till we meet again. Till we reach. And we'll shed our tears no more. May he give you strength to endure till we meet again. Till we've reached that distant shore, and we'll shed.
Bless you, St. Matthews.
I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.